You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
They're kind of an awkward one to get rid of.
The Fantasy Football Show.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Planet Sky FF, the world where everything revolves around £50,000. My name's Serge.
And my name is James.
This week, our chances of winning the 50,000 are no better and no worse than last week because we've had no Premier League football, James.
No, but we got plenty to talk about after Saturday morning's announcement, Serge.
Yeah, well, we thought, obviously, FPL game week 34, whatever it is in Sky, would be announced, and it has been. And there are a few cats amongst a few pigeons in terms of interesting things to be aware of. Obviously, you guys have a blank now, so there's a massive gap for you. And it'll be interesting to see what your thoughts are around similarities between FPL strategy and Sky. We talked on Monday's pod about Manchester United and Newcastle for the final stretch running being decent, and so on. So this is interesting to have a chat about, and we can get into it because we don't have any games to review. Plenty of questions on Twitter to go through, James, as well. So we'll start getting into fixtures, captaincy, strategy. Only if you're talking about 8 weeks, right? 8 matches. Let's say assume it falls into 8 weeks, which it doesn't with Sky because midweek is obviously the same week. So let's say 6 weeks. Someone like me with 23, 24 transfers, I could be using 4 or 5 a week now. Otherwise, I'm going to be left with some at the end.
Technically, you've got, 8 weeks left?
Yep.
So the maximum you could use from here was 40.
Yep.
I think that's right.
But then midweek, so the next game week, Saturday, Sunday, and then all of Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday is 1 week, even though it's 2 game weeks.
Technically, you could use 5 now, couldn't you?
Yeah, that's also
before
true.
Before the weekend, if you wanted to. We don't advise that.
No, indeed. So, where do you want to start? Do you want to start with the fixtures and what we have potentially learned? We'll cover off a bit of captaincy, and plenty of people have sent some questions in on Twitter as well. Just before we do, I think, because I didn't record with you and Clayton on Fantasy Challenge, but interesting to see that they've moved the deadline to the same as Sky, which is before the first kickoff.
Did you read the rules on that game?
I thought someone told me it's kickoff is the deadline.
No.
Okay, I read the rules on Twitter.
The deadline is when there's basically less than 4 teams left to play.
Okay, well, scrap that. My point was going to be, is there anything in that that might get some FPL more FPL players to be interested in Sky now, potentially?
Not at this stage, I wouldn't have thought, or vice versa.
Okay.
But FPL might be heading in more of a Sky
direction.
Direction. I don't know anything before anyone starts on me. But yeah, the idea of kind of flexi deadlines. Obviously,
Sky mid-match week transfers, that kind of thing.
Yeah. I mean, if they did move that way in FPL, then Sky Managers would suddenly do very well in the game. If you had no deadlines, if it was just each game was a deadline, then
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Interesting.
I'd probably prefer it because I prefer this game to FPL, as we've said 100 times over.
I may not display behaviours that map to that by missing deadlines and not using transfers, but I do genuinely prefer it. Cool. So the FPL double game week, but not in Sky, is announced. What are your kind of key takeaways? We were in this kind of limbo situation where, not limbo, but kind of situation where we only need a handful of teams to cover captaincy between now and the end of the season. It doesn't feel like that's gotten any more complicated.
No, not particularly. I would say we'd said that this period up till match week 33 that had been announced, which includes the Chelsea-Everton Monday night game, that basically four teams would cover you captaincy over that period: Manchester City, Tottenham, Liverpool and Chelsea. For what's been announced, which includes the weekend of match week 35 now, I think there's probably only two teams to add to that, and that's Manchester United and Arsenal. So it's very easy to remember, right? It's Big Six.
Yeah.
It's literally it.
Greedy Six.
Or yes, Thieving Six, whatever. That will cover you off for captaincy as far as we can see currently. I suspect that beyond that period, there will be something else, i.e. a single game day, yeah, like a Brighton v Villa or a West Ham v Luton.
Yeah, you were hinting at that. Yeah. West Ham Luton being a Monday or something like that, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, let's cover off what's changed. So the match week of 34, we obviously knew that the three fixtures were postponed because of the FA Cup semi-finals. So Tottenham v Man City is gone, Brighton v Chelsea is gone, Man United v Newcastle were gone. And currently, we can't see any of those three fixtures in the schedule. They're going to be nearer the end. So Saturday the 20th of April, we have three fixtures. The only one that I suspect matters to you is that Wolves against Arsenal is a 7:30 p.m. kickoff. So Arsenal captaincy going to be pretty important that day. You could make a case that the likes of Ivan Toney away to Luton might provide you with an alternative, but I think it's going to be Arsenal. And with Arsenal now playing Aston Villa, remember, on the Sunday before Sunday the 14th, there will be no reason not to have any of it.
That's your entry point, really, isn't it?
It's not a problem.
I don't own any Arsenal now as it stands. And my debate at the time was skipping Luton, because before Luton City, after Luton's Brighton and Villa, can I stomach it? But then I'm interested in, okay, Villa's my entry point. Does even Luton at home for one player become an entry point to captain on that day if I don't fancy Haaland? So I would end up with Saka and Saliba being prime Arsenal players. Do I go with one even earlier in that Luton game is a thought that's in my mind, and captain him then, and then add the second when we get to Villa? Because, yeah, obviously Wolves and Chelsea as two captaincies makes it definitely you're going to want Arsenal.
Yeah, similar thinking. I think for Arsenal next Wednesday when they play Luton, it's 2-1 or none for me. I haven't decided quite yet. But from that, the Sunday the 14th, it will be a steam into. Mm-hmm. I think even more so than when we had the Sheffield United and Brentford fixtures, yep, because there's a clear 3-0 over quite a few teams there for Arsenal. Sunday the 21st of April, we have four games. We've got the TV selected games, Everton against Nottingham Forest, which is a 1:30 kickoff. Interestingly, that's the only two teams we'll see the teams for. Fulham against Liverpool is the later game on Sky, and I think probably, you know, the likes of Mo Salah will be most popular for captaincy. But the other two games that have moved because of European involvement, which is Aston Villa against Bournemouth and Crystal Palace West Ham, they're 3 o'clock kickoffs rather than two. I don't know why,
right?
But that's what I don't know if that's partially maybe got something to do with the timing of Manchester United's FA Cup semi-final. Maybe, I'm not sure, but I wouldn't have thought those two fixtures would play any relevance in that, to be honest. But so it's only Everton Forest will see the team lineup of that day. Captaincy is going to be Salah, I think, if people think he's going to play. If not, Watkins. And you might want to be aware of that, because I think I fall into a group of people that's probably selling Ollie Watkins on Sunday.
Agreed, yeah, me too.
And to go back, you might not want to. You can obviously go back on that day, Sunday the 21st, and we'll still be sort of 2-0s, maybe a 3-0 with an effective captaincy where you can go back. They play Arsenal the Sunday before as well. So there might be a case to hop off him and hop back. But I think most people's idea at the moment with Watkins would be sell and that's it.
Yeah, I mean, following the Bournemouth game, Chelsea, Brighton, Liverpool is not like fill your boots time necessarily. So I would hope that Salah plays, because I'll be definitely on Salah in the next week or two. Backup, I'd almost say VVD will do rather than wasting a transfer on getting Watkins. But I have an abundance of transfers, so...
Yeah, I think even... I think there's a scenario of possibility that Villa's two penultimate games before the final day, Brighton and Liverpool, respectively, I don't think it's beyond possibility they could both end up as single game days. Right. I think that's unlikely, but it's possible.
We'll know by that Bournemouth game if that's the case.
But in any case, it makes it more, you might even still avoid Watkins, because it's still probably a Liverpool player for the penultimate weekend. The one before Brighton, because of Brighton's extra fixture at the end, you might decide if it's a Monday night game. Can't be a Friday because Villa's... involvement in Europe, where that weekend gets scheduled, will be before I think the European fixtures are finished. So they couldn't put Brighton Villa on a Friday night anyway. Although they might go, and provisionally this game moves to da 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 da.
Yeah, yeah.
But you might decide you want to go for like Gross at that stage anyway. So so Sunday 21st, I think Salah best, then Watkins. Tuesday 23rd, single game day for Arsenal against Chelsea. TNT obviously have that game. That is a single game day. Obviously, Arsenal captaincy for that one again won't be a problem. Wednesday the 24th, we have a number of fixtures and we may have one more. So we've got Crystal Palace against Newcastle, Everton against Liverpool, Manchester United against Sheffield United, and Wolves against Bournemouth. So Salah again, perhaps away to Everton, but Manchester United, I'm the Sheffield United. I'll tell you what, if you're looking at differential captaincy days, that might be one to have a serious look at, I think. We could also have Brighton and Manchester City on that evening as well. That is currently scheduled for Thursday the 25th as a single game day. Should Manchester City play in a Champions League semi-final the following Tuesday, that game will move back to the Wednesday, and then we'd have five fixtures on that evening. A note on that, on Manchester City, that if it moves back to the Wednesday, you might find it awkward to get back to their assets. I think a lot of people would be looking now and going, right, Thursday 25th, because of the additional fixtures at the end, you know, the Tottenham game still to be arranged, City will have six games to go. Many other teams will only have four, for example. But if it moves back to Wednesday the 24th, it might be awkward to get their assets back in. Now, there's obvious entry points, i.e. this weekend against Arsenal, and then next Wednesday against Aston Villa. But the two games then before the Brighton game would be Palace-Luton. And you also have to remember, Luton's Saturday the 13th, and then the Brighton game wouldn't be till Wednesday the 24th at the earliest. So there's lots of teams in the middle there would play twice in between that period. So you don't want to go too heavy beforehand. And then you might get to that point and go, well, I want to add some Manchester United, maybe even some Newcastle now at that stage as well. So you might suddenly find it awkward. The following weekend is a mess with what they've done with the scheduling. So the TV games that they've picked is West Ham against Liverpool is the lunchtime game on Saturday the 27th. Everton against Brentford is the Saturday evening game. The two Sunday games are Tottenham against Arsenal and Nottingham Forest against Manchester City.
It's 2 o'clock.
Ours is the 2 o'clock. Those four fixtures could swap around. They are paired. And again, they are paired based on if Arsenal or Manchester City play in the Champions League semi-final on the Tuesday. It could be neither of them. It could be one of them. It could be both of them. In the event that City and Arsenal play each other in the Champions League semi-finals and the fixture is on the Tuesday, which we've got no idea if that would happen or not at this moment, then those four fixtures would swap around. The West Ham-Liverpool game is paired with the Tottenham-Arsenal game. So if it's just Arsenal on the Tuesday, if City go out, they will switch. The other way around, if it's City, then Forest and Man City becomes the Saturday night game. Everton-Brentford becomes the Sunday 4:30 game. There is one more game on that Sunday, Sunday the 28th, and that is Bournemouth against Brighton. That has been moved because of the scheduling of Brighton against Manchester City on the Thursday beforehand. That fixture will not move. That will be a Sunday, 2 o'clock. Either way round, in terms of captaincy, I think obviously City either way away to Nottingham Forest will obviously appeal. But as it would stand, Saturday the 27th, he would maybe make a case again for Manchester United or Newcastle. United have Burnley at home. Newcastle have Sheffield United at home. Liverpool away to West Ham. You might want to take it on. Again, as it stands, Salah would probably be the most popular. And on Sunday the 28th, Haaland would be the most popular. But he could land on the same day. As it stands, you could end up with a scenario where you've got, for example, Everton against Brentford, Bournemouth against Brighton, and Tottenham against Arsenal. And then, good luck guessing who would be most popular. Probably Saka, maybe.
Yeah, I can't see if someone's struggling, a Pickford or something like that. It doesn't make any sense with the Brentford game.
If you've got a Brighton player, I mean, if Brighton did play on that Thursday the 25th, you might decide you want to pick some of that up and go even with a Brighton player away to Bournemouth, maybe.
Yeah, but their running isn't.
No, I know.
Newcastle United, I don't really feel like I want to hold that in for the running.
No, I agree. But there's the extra fixture, obviously, with Chelsea to go in as well.
Yeah, I think it default to a Saka, even though it's an away game. But like you said, Spurs give up chances. So I think I'd default to Saka. And it makes it even more justifiable steaming in on the Villa game if you're going to hold for the Tottenham game and add a captaincy. Over that period, you're going to have a lot of them. And I'm going to hold Arsenal. Whenever I go into Arsenal, whether it's the Luton game or the Villa game, I'm holding till the end. Because after that, you've got Bournemouth at home, Everton at home on the last day. I'm holding them to the end. So if I've got them, I'll probably captain them. Whereas Spurs, I would have sold all my Spurs after the Newcastle away game. And I'm not going to buy them back for Arsenal followed by Liverpool. So I won't have any Spurs. So it will have to be Arsenal by default then.
Yeah, I think important question that probably being asked that we can clarify now is like, when will we know which way round these fixtures are going to go? And obviously the Brighton-Manchester City single game day, if that will happen or not. Obviously that's at the conclusion of the Champions League quarterfinals. So we'll only know once the dates for the semi-finals are confirmed. I would imagine that will be either Thursday the 11th of April, Thursday the 18th of April or Friday, April the 19th. Mm-hmm. So before that match week 34 weekend. So it's not a huge amount of notice. This is part of the problem, right? So you might be, I'll come off City against Luton because there's other teams have got a couple of games over City. But if, like I said, if City Brighton's the Wednesday night, you might find it awkward to then go back because obviously if the Brighton game moves to the Wednesday, that'll be because the Forest game also moves to the Saturday. So then your entry point might be quite tricky going back into that final bit and presumably you're going to want some City for the running. So it might be the smart play over that period would just be sit on Haaland and Rodri because at the end of that Luton game, you're not going to have the information. Even if City are 4-0 up against Real Madrid in the first leg, you still don't know what day they're going to play in the semi-final. Exactly. Yeah. We won't know. It is daft as hell, by the way, that they're scheduling like City potentially to play Thursday, Sunday, Champions League, Wednesday, Premier League, Saturday, Champions League, Tuesday over the Champions League semi-final stage. It's disgusting. But I covered that yesterday on a podcast, which I recommend that me and Clayton did on fixture scheduling. It's more of an open discussion. In terms of what we can't see currently, obviously, they caused a big shock by not putting Tottenham in that midweek of match week 34 between the 23rd and 25th of April. I go into detail on that podcast yesterday of why I think that happened. It's surrounded around basically TNT picking up West Ham Liverpool the following weekend. And I think me and Ian Parran will discuss that more next week. Ian's guesting on our pod next week. So we now think Chelsea Tottenham is going to go as a single game day fixture, probably around about the 8th of May. So in the midweek between match weeks 36, 37, the three other fixtures would be at the end. So that's Brighton, Chelsea, Tottenham against Man City, Manchester United against Newcastle. They could, of course, all be single game days. But I don't know if Sky are going to bother to pick up Brighton, Chelsea. I don't think it's inconceivable in that final week that they move something like Villa, Liverpool from the weekend to the Tuesday night. I don't think that's impossible, particularly if Villa and Liverpool have played European semi-finals on the Thursday. It might even suit both clubs to say, do you know what, afterwards, fine. We're going to move your fixture off the weekend, but you've got a 5-day breather here, and then you've got a 5-day before
the next game
as well. I don't think that's improbable that something might move out of that weekend and go, say, on to the Tuesday night. So I do think Villa-Liverpool could be potentially a single game day later on. There is the possibility that all four of those fixtures, even though Chelsea and Tottenham are there twice, could all go into technically the final week. It's not improbable, which would be FPL's triple game week, that they scheduled Friday, Monday, Thursday, and then Sunday final day schedules. I don't think they'll do that, but we shouldn't rule it out as a possibility. And of course, if it is Friday night, then the entry point for the teams potentially becomes quite difficult. But I think the way it's going to land, I think both Tottenham and Chelsea's fixtures the previous weekend will be on the Sunday.
Right.
Chelsea are scheduled to play West Ham. Now, if they're going to schedule the weekend, they might decide to move it earlier because of your involvement in Europe. Liverpool, obviously.
We're getting to the semis a week.
You might do. But in terms of the scheduling, I think they...
2% chance.
If you think of it this way, that weekend has got to be announced before the midweek fixtures finish in the European quarterfinals.
Yeah.
So the Europa, if you say, the quarterfinals of that is the 18th of April.
Yeah, 11th and 18th.
That's the first weekend of May. That weekend has got to be announced at least before them European fixtures finish, surely. So again, they could put it as a provision where they go,
the asterisk.
Chelsea West Ham stays on the Saturday. If West Ham is still in Europe, it moves to the Sunday. Yeah, yeah. Tottenham's fixture, however, is Liverpool away. And I think that will highly likely be one of the Sunday picks.
Yep. Or Monday night. M&F.
Could be. I think the Sunday's more likely.
Okay.
I think the Sunday's more likely.
It's a bit of a schlep, London to Tottenham. London to Liverpool, not that they care.
But point being as well, if you think that Liverpool fixture is going to move to the Sunday... Let's say the Tottenham fixture with Arsenal in the North London Derby the weekend before did even move to the Saturday, right? Well, then over that period, you've got teams that are going to have 5-1s over Tottenham. Mm. And we can certainly already see, because Tottenham are not playing in that midweek of match week 34, that there's teams with 3-0s, including Arsenal and Liverpool, as 3-0s over Tottenham. You're not keeping. You're selling at that point. So I think a good example would be, it's kind of two hop-off points from Tottenham, basically, right? There's a good chance you want to keep for captaincy next Tuesday with the Planet FPL Derby, West Ham versus Tottenham. That's mainly because there aren't great alternatives for captaincy. I don't think next Tuesday we'll come back onto that.
Not with any ownership, anyway.
We'll come back onto that. But I think if you want to cover it off, your smarter play next Tuesday will be just the captain, Sonny.
Yep.
You can come off then, because Tottenham then don't play till the Monday, but you're definitely still going to want something for the Monday game against Nottingham Forest. And then obviously the Newcastle game is the Saturday. That's obviously
we'll all sell Romero, keep Son, and Son will get a knock. And
well, I think the sensible play here, I've got Romero and Son. I think the sensible play is probably just to keep them both through
to Forest
to include the Forest Newcastle games, and then sell them both afterwards.
I'm more likely to do that. And then I mean, you've got Arsenal with Villa the next day. So
anything on top of two, I would sell. I think probably after the West Ham game. You're going into like Arsenal against Luton, better fixtures for City, Liverpool against Sheffield United on the Thursday night, and these teams all play twice before the Tottenham single game day, and then they have games on Tottenham again. So rather than a 3-0, you can look at it as a 5-2 that could even become a 7-3. So I think, I know Andy, Let's Talk FPL, sent a question in which I saw he's got 5 Tottenham. I think for Andy, that's probably sell something on Sunday. Listen, he's got 5 against Luton. That's good.
That could
right,
be a differential
Saturday.
In itself. I was going to say, like, you never know could. That it could make so many points for you on that day.
But I think it's probably sell something. If you haven't got like Haaland, Salah, that's getting bought on Sunday, or Rodri, anything like that, I think that's getting bought. Then probably sell the others on the Wednesday or the Thursday next week, and I would keep 2. What you don't want to land yourself in a position is where suddenly you need to go back for one Tottenham, I think. Mm-hmm. I don't think you'll want to. So I think if you've got a large, and there will be other people like Andy have gone that way, 5 or 6, because of the extra games with Fulham and Villa beforehand. People even have the likes of, say, Kulusevski, Udogi to go with Porro. Madison. I mean, it's definitely conceivable people have got like Romero, Porro, Son, Madison.
Yep.
Definitely conceivable. I think that's been 2 at some point over the course of the next week. Probably keep the other 2 to give you a little bit of flexibility on the captaincy to guarantee you don't have to buy one back, then sell them both after the Newcastle game on Saturday the 13th. And after that, you've got entry points. Arsenal on that Sunday, as I said. Liverpool on that Sunday. You could even make a case where you'd say, right, a Jared Bowen, Fulham and Crystal Palace, chain that on to something else. And obviously there's the Monday game, Chelsea against Everton. And there'll be a case potentially at that point to add some more Chelsea or even Everton. Even potentially add some Everton, because you might even land up, Everton would even have, say, a 4-0 over Tottenham. You might be looking at something like Vicario to Pickford. People go, I'm not going to Everton. Well, that would be fine if you wanted to make that sort of move. So that, with Tottenham not playing in that midweek, is key. That's what's really opened it up. And I also think you're looking over this period, and you're like, well, where can I make kind of differential moves? I love the idea of buying Manchester United and Newcastle players on Wednesday the 24th now.
Yep.
Manchester United, home of Sheffield United. Newcastle, where the Crystal Palace, not so attractive, but then the two teams then have Burnley and Sheffield United at home afterwards. The following weekend, they play Crystal Palace and Burnley respectively. And then we know they've got the extra fixture with each other, which is highly likely to be at the end and could be a single game day as well. So I wonder if other people have already identified that and gone, yeah, I really want to get into Manchester United, Newcastle at that stage, because that's going to flip your template. And there'll be people who are sort of in single digits of transfers are going to find that harder. I think people like me with 16 left are looking at that going, yep. Really punting into stuff there. Players who've been shit this year, like Rashford and stuff, and potentially just go into them, punt them, captain them, get on with it.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Let's cover off captaincy for this week and midweek next week, even though you're recording next week with Ian Parrin, Planet Sky, right?
What I'd like to do with Ian as well, my patrons will notice from my plan, I've projected game week 36 and 37. I know Ian likes to do that as well. So I think it'd be nice to have a discussion in terms of projections. Yeah. Neither of us know, but project how those last two kind of penultimate weekends and the midweeks might land. Ian's obviously such a shrewdie in terms of his scheduling understanding. Captaincy this Saturday, Suj.
Son, for me.
My intention was Cole Palmer.
I was going to ask you, if Sonny's the better captain in Sky, why is he still not the better captain in FPL? But you've now actually mapping your Sky captain to your FPL captain in possibly, probably Palmer.
Yeah.
I think I'm still going to stick with Son as it stands.
There's concerns with both, though. So the concern with Sonny is if he goes back to the left, less effective, but can definitely still, Luton's right-hand side, I think, is weak. Like, particularly if Kabore plays on that side,
yep,
it's weak. So Son could still do well from there, but it's not as appealing as through the middle where we saw Erling Haaland score 5 against them in an FA Cup game not too long ago. So if I thought Sonny was going to stay through the middle, yes, Sonny. My intention in both formats had been to captain Cole Palmer this weekend, but the fact that he didn't even get on the pitch for England last night, I think it's quite concerning. So we knew that he had an injury problem that kept him out of Saturday. I'm just really surprised that he didn't get on the pitch last night at all. Like, Anthony Gordon played the majority of the game on Saturday. And then last night, with sort of 10 to 15 minutes to go, he brought Gordon on again rather than give Palmer some minutes. And I thought that was pretty surprising. So I don't know if there's a concern there where he's carrying something. I think we maybe need to be aware of that. And I just want, the more you look at it, you think, well, if there's any concern over Palmer, you just captain Son, right? It's not like there's not an alternative. If there's concerns over both, I don't even mind captain Watkins against Wolves.
Solanke owners, Everton at home.
It's not terrible.
Yep.
So it's a nice Saturday. I think if you said to me right now with no more information, right, lock your captain in, I'd probably be going Sonny.
Me too.
A little bit of concern on Palmer, but if it's, you know, he's seen in training, looks fine, then I think I'll go Palmer.
on the Sunday, James, I mean, Arsenal City against each other, Liverpool at home at Anfield, where they've really made it a fortress against Brighton, who have had a few slappings away from home. So Salah for me. I don't own him right now, but I will be buying him.
I heard on Who Got the Assist, though, that their expected goals conceded Brighton is really good. They're about the fourth or fifth best over away? The last certain period.
Or mixture.
Just a mixture of across games. But there have been a few in there. I think the Villa game obviously springs to mind back in last autumn. Yeah, Salah captaincy over Haaland on Sunday. I think it's fairly straightforward. Excuse me, I don't own him at the moment. So my plan is Watkins to Salah on Sunday.
Right. Then obviously we've got the midweek fixtures where the Planet FPL derby, Sonny against West Ham away. Is that the direction you're going to go in? There are a few other fixtures that are okay. Newcastle have got Everton at home. Bournemouth have got Palace at home. But maybe ownership in Newcastle is low. I still own Solanke at the moment.
It's an alternative, certainly.
I don't like captaining a player against my own team. Why would you want to? Like, I don't care at Sonny Blanks, to be honest. But based on ownership, he's likely to be the most highly owned captain on that day. I may just roll with it.
Yeah, I don't think Bowen's not a terrible alternative. We'll talk about this more on our Patreon pod later. So he was brilliant last night, Jared Bowen.
Yeah, a friend of mine. Really good. I don't really watch international football, but sent me a bottle of Nando's extra hot sauce and said, your winger is eating this.
He was great last night. Really good.
Yeah. I mean, he's a good player, so yeah.
So I think Bowen is in the conversation. It's against Tottenham. There'll be chances. you just know it. It's just whether it'll fall to him or to someone else.
Of course, it's West Ham's cup final. We get a trophy at the end. We raise our game only for you.
Because it's not obvious, one of the things I keep thinking is, we look at captaincy for that number saying, yeah, people still got Solanke. There'll be obviously people have got Tottenham and West Ham assets. What people won't have a lot of at the moment is Newcastle. And I just wonder, they're at home to Everton. I just wonder if there was a big injury over the weekend, you know, like a Saka or Haaland or someone like that got injured at the weekend on Sunday. If you'd think, yeah, do you know what? I'll go into Isak Tuesday night. Going for a differential, captain him straight away. Because with them, there's no entry point. It's Saturday, Tuesday, Saturday. There's no entry point. And that run of fixtures after West Ham, Everton at home, Fulham away, Tottenham at home is not terrible. And then we know there's the three great fixtures starting from the Crystal Palace game on Wednesday the 24th. So that's in the back of my mind to think, yes, if one of the big hitters got injured on Sunday, I would maybe go into Isak and captain him. Because I think that might be the best call, but I don't see anyone doing that. Should also be noted that he's played 290 minutes for Sweden over this international break, which is more than what he normally gets through as a workload. We do know he's fairly injury prone. Then it's Saturday, then it's Tuesday. You might want to bear that in mind as well. But yeah, I think Sonny's going to be clearly the most popular, isn't he?
On the Wednesday, Arsenal have Luton at home, City have Villa at home. Usually when City, you're at home, Haaland's a default, but Arsenal with Luton at home, you can't see past that, can you? I'm going to go Saka over Haaland on this one. You're going to go Haaland?
Yeah, all day long. Potential with Villa's high line is there. So, yeah, Haaland all day for me, home fixture like
either
that.
One, that could swing either way, though, because I feel like if Arsenal score early, they could have a riot and Villa could dig in against City, or the other way around. City score early, they could go and Arsenal have an off day because Luton make it difficult. There might be divergence on that day, though, do you think, between captaincy?
Yeah, I think so.
Which is good.
It's worth noting for Arsenal as well, and this does also apply for City, that they play Sunday, Wednesday, Saturday. Tight turnaround, then Tuesday Champions League. It's the same for both of them. So you might want to factor that into your thinking in terms of expected minutes. I don't think you'd look at the other fixture, Brentford versus Brighton. Not that I'd hate an Ivan Toney captainer, but I still think you'd want to go with a Saka or a Haaland under that circumstance. My plan is probably Bowen to Saka next Wednesday. I think it's probably my plan at the moment. And I might go Areola to Raya as well.
Okay. On the Thursday, if you don't own Salah, Sheffield United, then don't watch the
games. There's no way if he's in
switch
the team
off
that
notifications.
Night. There's no way if he's in the team that night, you're not buying him. And to be honest, I don't think there's many people that won't be buying him this Sunday in any case, anyway. If he wasn't in the team, if he was a sub, I've got Van Dijk as an alternative, and I think people would just go and buy an alternative under that circumstance as well. The way Liverpool's fixtures have landed now, it's entry points all the way through. Every single Liverpool game up till the West Ham game is an entry point. So,
any thoughts on adding to Van Dijk and Salah for that period? Got Sheffield United at home, United away, Palace at home, Fulham away, Everton away, West Ham away. A lot of away fixtures, but God, doesn't really matter.
Yeah,
you could. We're talking about steaming into Arsenal for their little run. I mean, it's just as good for Liverpool. I don't think people will steam into Liverpool as much.
No, I mean, what you have to factor in with a team like Liverpool is a 3-0s aren't necessarily 3-0s over this condensed period. It's worth saying, though, their Europa draw is good.
Atalanta.
So they may well just rotate as much in that as they do in the league. So it's not inconceivable that a Nunez started the next six games. I think, yeah, I'd be very tempted possibly by Nunez next Thursday if he's in that lineup. I don't have the intention of doing it on Sunday, because I think if I did it Sunday and then he didn't play the Thursday, I'd be quite disappointed in that. And I probably would end up... I'd be selling something like Solanke and missing Palace at home. I don't feel like the gain is big enough to be taken that on. On Bournemouth, by the way, quite an interesting one, because obviously I think a lot of managers will still have Solanke, and they might even have someone like a Zabani or Neto. They're kind of an awkward one to get rid of, because the fixtures are good. You'd almost, in a weird way, you'd just rather they had shit fixtures than make it easier to sell. And they go first quite a lot. So
yeah, I mean, Matthew Seward's put a question in on Twitter. He's got Neto and Solanke. What are good exit points for them?
Yeah, I mean, the best one is probably after they play Luton on Saturday, April the 6th, and then you can move that perhaps into additional Chelsea on Sunday the 7th, which might not be too dissimilar in terms of price. Like if you wanted to go into Petrovic, if you feel safer about Neto to Petrovic, I can see that being popular. Perhaps for those like me, I've got Zabani. Okay, right, Gusto's still playing. Maybe go down that route. I said to you previously, I was considering Malo Gusto. You know there's additional fixtures for them. So I think perhaps Bournemouth to Chelsea on Sunday the 7th, rather than going back into a Tottenham player on Monday the 8th, as discussed previously. Once you make it beyond that, there's a case to say, because they obviously have the additional fixture in the midweek of match week 34 against Wolves, there's a case to say you should hold till then. I mean, holding Solanke at his value, what is 7.8? Like, there's nothing wrong with holding him at that value. That enables other things as well. But the problem is, after Wednesday the 24th, then you've really got to buy sort of a Brighton or a Manchester City player. And also, as covered, that fixture might move. The fixture afterwards is Brighton, and that's a Sunday. So then he's still staying. So there's a decision to be made there. The one I'm eyeing up, Suj, is potentially transitioning to go from Zabani to Lascelles. I might even do it. It's not a Sky per se favoured, but I might even just do it on that night, Wednesday the 24th, when Zabani's at Wolves and Lascelles is at Palace. I might even just do it that night.
Get it done.
Just because it's a similar value that holds. I mean, I was looking
good
at...
backup captaincy coverage.
I was looking at highest... price defender at sort of his price range. He's third, Zabani, at like under 7 million. Van Heck,
points. Wow.
Van Heck is clearly the most, right?
Yep.
But with their fixtures, even though there's extras in there, I don't know if you really want to, as you said, I don't know if you want to go back for Brighton.
Who's second, like a Doughty or something? No.
No, I think it was like Senesire.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah. That makes sense.
There wasn't a lot in at that value. Lascelles would rank better if he'd played more games. And I think with Newcastle's running, that's an interesting enabler to potentially keep an eye on. But again, it makes it awkward how you come off the Bournemouth players. So, yeah, it might be that it's a chain part of that where you just go, right, Everton, Palace, Luton, that's enough. I'm going to ignore the fact that there's an extra fixture and sell it. But it is still, it's an extra fixture even over Chelsea over that period. Obviously, yes, Chelsea play in the midweek, but they don't play of match week 34, but they don't play the weekend before, right?
No. Some of these interesting talking points around some of these fringe teams have been put into the questions that we've had in on X. So should we get into some of these questions? I think
yes,
sir. Fun to. Right. Bobby Love, what's happening, Bobby? Currently at 20 transfers. so I can swing for the stars a bit with my transfers. What players and when would you get in for some upside chasing? You mentioned Newcastle there, United and Newcastle towards the end.
I think that's a great one. I really do, because I think those two teams are full of differentials at this moment. Even the likes of like Garnacho, 7.5. I think Onana will be quite popular as a goalkeeper option, because you don't really want to look at United defensive. Perhaps if Martinez is back fit by that point, that's the one where you can hope for a little bit more in terms of passing tiers. Rashford and Fernandes have largely been overlooked most of this season. But I think if they're affordable, particularly if perhaps you're selling Tottenham players beforehand, then they can be looked at. Hoyland is a differential for the running. If you're coming off perhaps like a Tony earlier or something like that. Richarlison's a forward in this game, isn't he?
Yes.
He is, so people are going to want to sell Richarlison after Tottenham play Newcastle. Newcastle assets, I think if Pope's back, he could be popular. I think Lascelles, I think Trips, assuming he's fit at that stage. Isak, although an awareness that Callum Wilson, we think, will be back before the end of the season, but probably not till May. So any form of setback there, that rules Wilson out for the end. Anthony Gordon, we've not looked at so much in Sky this year. Gimenez, once he's got part, by this stage, has probably got through his yellow card problem. Can pick up range of tiers. Harvey Barnes might suddenly find his way into the team. If you're looking for differentials at the end, yeah, I think those two, because of the additional fixtures and that Wednesday the 24th, really, really appeal, actually. But to get there, you really probably are going from Arsenal.
Well, Glenn wants to know who the top three Arsenal and Liverpool assets would be, excluding Salah and Saka.
Oh.
Saliba.
Definitely Saliba.
Gabriel's got to be up there. Rice is still a decent option.
Rice, yeah.
Martinelli, if he's playing.
Ben White wouldn't rule out. We said Ben White had scored more than Saliba so far this year, hadn't we? We said that last week or the week before. So, and I think Raya as well. I think one I'm looking at as an Areola owner, like I said, is maybe Areola to Raya next Wednesday. Take the five Arsenal games and then into Onana Wednesday the 24th. That's the sort of move I might be looking at.
About Liverpool, I mean, I saw Andy Robertson limped off yesterday. So if we got news that he was out, maybe as an enabler, Tsimikas.
Yeah, but
then sometimes Gomez plays left back in the tougher games, but not necessarily in the easier games. And they've got a few easier games coming up.
Conor Bradley's dirt cheap.
Yep. Will he keep his place?
But I think in terms of the consistency of what you're probably looking for, you said no Salah, yeah?
Well, Salah's a kind of given.
Van Dijk will play these games. Yep. As long as they're challenging for the title, I cannot see Virgil van Dijk not playing a Premier League game. He's the one that falls into that, yep, we'll play the lot. If Alisson is back.
Yep.
That's certainly of interest. I think,
I mean, a Luis Diaz or something, he could always go off, right?
He can.
If you were being really punty.
I'm not sure I'd prefer that as a punt over, say, those United Newcastle players, although admittedly entry point different. You're going in for Liverpool earlier. I think McAllister might be one that regularly goes under the radar. He's kind of the Pascal Gross type, isn't he? That's capable of little bits. If Salah was ruled out for whatever period, we know he'll be on pens.
That price.
Yes, probably.
Glenn also wants to know if you think Watkins to Nunez or Foden is worth it.
The thing with those two players is they're not getting your armband. It's not to say don't buy them.
That's the biggest challenge.
But with Nunez, you don't know if you'll get any additional fixtures. I brought Nunez this time last year, and it was a disaster. And that's not to say it would be a disaster this time. If you remember, I'd brought him in for a game before they had a Monday night game against Leeds. I'd brought him in and he came on, he scored that night actually. They won 6-1, but he was really inconsistent with his minutes for the rest of the season. And I couldn't get rid of him. Couldn't get rid of him. That wouldn't put me off necessarily going there again, but you factor in it's a transfer where if you're short, are you never captaining Nunez over Salah? You never captain Foden over Haaland. There's arguably a debate now between Foden versus Rodri, maybe. I don't mind buying either. It's not my intention on Sunday particularly. I will have a second look at both of those two players next midweek.
Martin, Who do you think will be the three highest scoring players between now and the end of the season? Is it as obvious as the highest scoring Arsenal player, the highest scoring Liverpool player, and the highest scoring City player, Saka, Salah, Haaland?
No. I'd arguably put Son in there, maybe over
Saka. He was the next on my list as potentially could be big and explosive.
It just the Tottenham schedule just breaks into two.
Well, let's talk about that, because James Hill's question is the next question, where he says, is there any case to be made to hold Spurs through the blank period? Liverpool have a 4-0 over them, but it then looks like Spurs will have a 6-3 back over them from the 28th of April. The only case I would say then is if you have no transfers to be able to move from one to the other, because otherwise it makes absolute sense to come off, use that time with Liverpool and then go back to Spurs for the run-in. Whether or not you want all of the run-in.
It's not even just Liverpool, though. It's the same. Arguably even Arsenal even more, because then you can chain Arsenal into like Manchester United and Newcastle, which you won't end up doing with Liverpool assets. What you got to think with Sonny as well, I know there's extra fixtures at the end that will obviously start with the Arsenal game. And if the Arsenal game is the Sunday, then you can obviously go back in there. As I've said, I think the Liverpool game will be the Sunday the following week. You can go back in there. But also consider this. The two games most likely to be single game days for Tottenham are obviously against Chelsea and Manchester City. Chelsea would be away. Right, sorry, my captains will be Palmer and a Manchester City player under that circumstance. The Burnley game at home may well appeal, subject to obviously how the penultimate weekend lands. And obviously Sheffield United last day is obviously a really good fixture as well. But that's competing with every other team. Arsenal playing Everton at home, Liverpool playing Wolves at home, City playing West Ham at home. Yeah, it might be at the end you want to punt, Son. But it is worth remembering, despite those extra fixtures for Tottenham, even for Son, even if he was through the middle, you may not captain him. It's worth bearing in mind that. I think there's a possibility, I'll discuss this with Ian next week, I think there's a possibility that Tottenham and Burnley on the penultimate weekend might be a Sunday, which might sound daft. I'll reveal my theory behind that next week. If it does, then there'd be a clear Tottenham 3-1 at the end. And it might even be you just wait for that.
Right, okay, we've got a couple more questions to wrap the show, James. Sam Williams, three names you expect to stay below 5% for the rest of the season that could be massive differentials.
If I'd have shut my mouth about Manchester United and Newcastle.
I looked at, there's two players I looked at. One I don't think will stay below 5%. Rice, he's at 15 overall, but only 3.7% in the top 1,000. And the other that I do think will stay below 5% will be Kudus. I don't think anyone's going to buy him, and he's just as likely to go off as Bowen, potentially. But who's going to stay below 5%?
I'll throw you a couple of names, which could be entered on Sunday the 21st, as a potential 2-0 or 3-0, subject to how it lands. Eze and Elise of Palace. West Ham at home, Newcastle at home, Fulham away. I think there's a small possibility that the Manchester United game might even be a Friday night, and that might suddenly appeal, but then it would just make Manchester United's appeal even greater. Tony won't be under that ownership at the moment, will he?
No.
Jared Branthwaite as an enabler, possibly, for the rest of the season. 7 million. Everton largely have good fixtures across the board. Yes, they've got to play Newcastle, Chelsea, Liverpool and Arsenal, but they've also got to play Bournemouth, Burnley, Nottingham Forest, Brentford, Luton and Sheffield United. As an overall, that's not bad for a 7 million enabler. That won't get any interest, I don't think. Because I think even the investment for Everton Monday the 15th when they play Chelsea is more likely to be for Pickford if people go there. There's a few. I think Bowen's ownership will take a massive hit. Here's a rogue one for you. I saw Matthias Cunha back in training for Wolves. Right. And after they play Villa this weekend, they've got a good run of fixtures, but there's no entry point. It's only Wednesday the 24th they play Bournemouth. You could have Bournemouth at home, Luton at home, and then you're definitely chaining it onto something else because two of their last three is City away and Liverpool away. That might be a really interesting one. Their run between Burnley away next Tuesday and Luton at home Saturday the 27th is a good run of six fixtures, actually. So something like that. Matthias Cunha, if he's fit, maybe.
Cool. And the last question of the show, James. How many transfers do you want to come out of April with when we go into May? There's three game sets of fixtures plus the sprinkling of extras. Would you be happy with four or five to navigate that last 3 weeks, or would you want a little bit more than that?
Good question.
I wish I could tell you who asked it, but my battery laptop battery's gone.
Oh, did
so
it?
I've got a black screen. So somebody asked it, and if you know who you are, just take the credit for asking a good question.
I presume that was the last question then, was it?
It wasn't the last on the message, but it was the last that we haven't covered off yet.
Yeah, knock yourself out.
It's fine. I've got my phone here as well. Matt Seward. Go on, Matt.
I think it depends, right? If you suddenly end up with a scenario towards the end where, I don't know, hypothetically, you're going to end up with, I don't know, Luton against Everton on a Friday night, Brighton against Villa on a Monday night, and, you know,
West Ham Luton,
you're suddenly looking at the outlook at the end very differently. Because if we don't have any of that at the end, then there is a case to say six teams finish this off with, okay, maybe you punch some Newcastle. But the rest can just be ignored. It could just be a big six game for the rest of the season. So here's hoping that things like, personally, yeah, make the game more difficult. We have things like Brighton and Villa on a Monday night, West Ham against Luton on a Friday night. Well, we have them things.
The fixture guys can't take into account so much. They're not going to take Sky into account as well, James. Asking too much.
I would be very surprised over those final two weekends if there wasn't at least one game like that oh shit, I need to think about some different things here. I'd be surprised if there wasn't something like that. So
plus injuries.
That's going to change the game, potentially. So if you even think, let's say Brighton Villa was a Monday night, Monday the 6th. Well, if you've got Chelsea Tottenham the Wednesday afterwards, you might just be going in and then moving it off. So you might be right, I'm going into Watkins, that's, I'm
two
captaining
transfers
him.
There already.
Yeah, changes the game possibly. So I think, so we're saying what, coming out of the weekend of match week 35?
Yeah, it's going into the last three match weeks. Five tops, one for an injury.
The number I had in my head was five or six.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I
mean, if Tottenham Burnley was on a Sunday in the penultimate weekend,
you'd still go.
It might sound rogue mad, but I could see me trying to go something like blanket Tottenham defence for like the final three games for the 3-for-1 at the end under that. So even though one of the fixtures is Man City, because Burnley, Sheffield United's the other two.
At home, did you say Burnley was?
Burnley's at home.
Oh, okay,
yeah.
Fine. You won't be getting the train up there and getting caught in snow then.
No, not this time.
Sunny May. Cool. So hopefully that helps answer your question, Matt. Five or six probably should be plenty to get you through. Cool. That's all the questions we've had in. If you want to support the show, head over to patreon.com/planetFPL. All of the additional benefits of additional shows, prize leagues, James's fixture planning spreadsheet. I should say, like, people see the graphics. If you're watching on YouTube and you see the Skittles coloured fixtures showing up,
you ain't even seeing 5% of it.
That's the spreadsheet, though. So we never really make the link that those graphics are not there just for the YouTube video. That is access to that spreadsheet that gets updated, unfortunately, probably daily, is when you need to tweak it with James's own fixture difficulty ratings.
Yeah, I was doing Euro 2024 permutations last night.
Lovely. Very, very useful for Sky managers as well as the Slack community of engaged people. Why not head over and support the show in that way in the last couple of months of the season? Other than that, though, just leaves me to say, that's it. What content you got tomorrow? You got COTC.
COTC, Forest versus Palace tomorrow, Mark Southerns and Roy McLaughlin Dowd. As I said earlier, I really recommend the People's Poll Pod we did yesterday, me and Clayton, where we talk about fixture scheduling. I think if anyone enjoys Sky, you should find that quite interesting, I think.
Nice. And as you mentioned as well, fixture planning, one of the fixture planning gurus, Ian Parrin, on next week.
Yes.
Particularly from a TV lens. So wherever you're listening, make sure you're subscribed. You'll get notified as soon as that goes live. Other than that, stay safe, look after yourselves. Ciao for now.
Thanks, everyone. Play it your way. Cue music, please. Man Child.
The Fantasy Football Show.
Sports Social Podcast Network.